that was $1,000. Yeah. Over $1,000. It just had a game, one controller, a little charging port station for your controllers, and then a grip for the controller with some headphones. All right, welcome back to Jack Antics, and I know it's been a long time coming, and we're here today with our special guest today. You know, he's part of the family now. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Yes, yes indeed. And first and foremost, thank you for having me on, and appreciate being part of the family. And without further ado, it's your boy Nolly Nolly. You know me.
I thought you were going to do all your AKAs today.
Oh, not yet. We're going to save that. I got to get them all together.
The Gap 2 Bandit has returned.
The baby face killer.
the baby face assassin? That's taken already by Steph Curry.
Steph Curry. I'm the babyface killer. He can be the babyface assassin. I'm the babyface killer. he already got it all. He can't have everything now. Go on somewhere.
Hey man, hey, it's the chef. Him and Chris Paul, bro, you know.
Call me Clay Thompson. Call me Coach.
Call you Coach. Alrighty then, bro. But I don't even know what episode this is of the podcast, but yeah, we're probably going to, you know, put it in the title. But it's been a long time coming. I know a lot of things has happened. You've seen the changes made to the YouTube channel. Been doing reviews, tech reviews lately. You know, more gameplays. But it's more stuff to come. You know, we're getting back to our roots around here.
An exquisite work in progress.
Right. But, like I said, in this episode today, we're talking about GPUs, talking about the PS5, talking about live adaptations, and some good anime games. So, with that being said, let's go ahead and start it off. GPU shortage, how you feel about it, bro?
It came at a time, it's ironic that it came around the time of the pandemic starting, where people were starting to explore technology more since everybody was in the house. And as soon as PC gaming started to gain major traction, it got derailed. Especially since when you're first getting into PC gaming, it's difficult to even understand what a GTX versus a RTX or a Radeon RX, or you got all these different abbreviations coming at you. And now, before you even understand it, you're pretty much priced out if you're like on a budget. Like even a budget PC gamer would have to spend maybe around $700 to $1,000 to make a decent rig nowadays, due to what the scalpers have been doing with the GPUs. They've been buying them in bulk, increasing the prices just like the PS5. They buy them in bulk and then they sell them aftermarket for like maybe 50-100% markup. And if they're not wholesalers, then they're crypto miners. They're buying GPUs in bulk and using them to mine crypto. Because the stronger GPU is, the better it is in mining crypto. So it's basically set a higher margin of interest for PC gaming, and I feel like it's stifling the product, honestly. It's frustrating, to say the least.
Yeah, because, you know, once I finally built my PC, because I was buying parts here and there, and then when I finally got to build my PC, I was like, okay, cool. I built it up. And the first time when I built my PC. It was my first build, so I didn't know what I was doing. And, like, I burnt up my motherboard. So, it was, I had to replace the motherboard. So, that can be a thing. So, even though you can get your parts sent back if you bought them properly, you know, you can get your parts sent back, it's still hard to come by certain parts, because it might take a while just to get those parts back. And these things, like, you don't realize how much stuff needs these GPUs, like certain computers, some certain game systems. That's why the PS5 is such a backed up, and it's affecting, like, so much stuff. And yeah, it's bad out there. Some people just need to go back outside.
The ones sitting there mining crypto all day, burning through the GPU, definitely need to go back outside.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous at this point. Like, I just figured out the difference between GTX and RTX and all this stuff, and I want to get into VR gaming and 4K.
Nah, I ain't getting into VR gaming, bro.
Okay. I see all the videos about when the people get too deep into it. Right, I want to try it just for a little bit.
Bro, what? Nah, I told you, man, we move into where we in Ready Player One or Sword Art Online. Pick your choice. Both are, well, Ready Player One's kind of fire, but it's definitely not Sword Art Online, bro. I can't do it.
Put me in the Matrix. That's what I'm going to be at.
Nah.
Matrix lit, man.
I can't do it, bro. Yeah, I can't be going against what was the guy's name? Mr. Anderson? Yeah. Agent Smith. Okay, yeah, I can't go on against Agent Smith, bro. Smith, no. Not. you just chilling on the couch, and there's Mr. Smith popping the door. Hello, Neo. No. No.
Mr. Anderson, we need to talk to you. No. Sir, are you the FBI? I want to find out this man is a computer virus. No.
This man is you remember Cole Lyoko?
Mm-hmm.
What was that dude named? Zordon?
That's a throwback.
Cole Lyoko. Bruh, that Canadian drama was fire.
Canadian drama.
Bro, it was a Canadian drama, bro.
And yeah, it was a Canadian anime, and it was dramatic, so I guess it is a Canadian drama.
Bruh, it was a Canadian drama. Oh, never mind, it says French animated. But it's probably, you know, there's French people in Canada, so.
Yeah. Yeah, Canada. I'm about to say Canadian.
Most of the French. You said what?
Nah, I said Canadian.
Mostly French.
Shout out to Canada.
Yeah, shout out to them, man.
Shout out to the Six in Toronto and them.
I want to visit there one day, though.
Yeah, they got a, I think it's a province named Alberta.
I'm not even gonna say nothing, but
Alberta.
Oh, it's called Xana.
Yeah.
I don't even know what it stands for, because it was like an acronym, but yeah.
They was fighting Xanax. So.
Yeah. But yeah, the whole GPU thing is really fascinating, because what is all affecting, and some of the casual users don't really understand why the PS5, or mostly the PS5, is hiking in prices. And that goes into the next topic, where the PS5 is really getting hyped up. Like, I saw a bundle pack that was $1,000.
Yeah.
Over $1,000. It just had a game, one controller, a little charging port station for your controllers, and then a grip for the controller with some headphones. And I was like, that's over $1,000? Really? Yeah. If I bought them things separately, they would not come close to $1,000.
Exactly. I think it's just, I don't know what the game is with the, with why they're bundling them like that, but the, it's, and with the already, with the PS5 already being one of the most popular consoles ever to date, I think they just, at one point in time, they had beat out the Switch for the most sales, and then when Nintendo released the Switch OLED, they got their title back, but for a second, the PS5 was the most, was the highest selling console ever.
Even and, past the PS2?
Hmm?
Even past the PS2?
Yeah, I think the, yeah, PS2 been past, the Wii passed the PS2.
Wow.
Yeah, man, Nintendo has only been battling for that highest console sales spot.
Mm-hmm.
And, but yeah, and PS5 got it, and then Switch released the OLED, and they got it right back. But with the console being in such high demand, it makes it easier for retailers to release these ridiculously expensive bundles. Because even though you're getting all these peripherals and accessories and whatnot, they know the main thing you want is that PS5. And they know that you don't care what comes with it. So they can name their price, throw some peripherals, accessories, and other doodads and whatnot into the bundle, and you're still gonna buy it, and they're gonna make a profit off of it. Because all that stuff combined does not, I doubt that stuff combined is even worth $1,000.
Man, I'm on the website right now, and the disc version, you want me to give you the price just the disc version with one controller? Yeah, the disc version of the PS5.
What is it?
Is $1,000. And then if you want the digital version, it's $979. But with taxes added, that's pretty much close to $1,000.
Basically. And you know the crazy part is? I got my PS5. Like, I got my PS5 through all adversity, through all the scalpers and whatnot. I found it at Target. And I got it.
How much did it cost?
This is plus tax. I paid $545.80.
Yeah.
Retails at $499.
Yeah. And I think I told you before, that's why I'm just waiting it out, because I'd rather build me a PC game, because at this point in juncture, that there's not really that many games to play on the PS5. And the games, like, I was, like, kind of upset because God of War coming out, but then they announced God of War coming to the PC. There's no point. It's no point. Literally, the only game I want to play is Ratchet and Clank. That's it.
Yeah, and there hasn't been too much love for Ratchet and Clank lately.
You said what?
There hasn't been too much love for Ratchet and Clank lately. I mean, they released a couple of games, but I believe they released them on both the PS5 and the PlayStation 4, if I'm not mistaken.
No, that would say exclusive.
Yeah. So it was just the PS5, not the PS4?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah. But yeah, that's one thing about it. Like, unless you didn't have a unless you didn't have one, or your PS4 kind of died like mine did, there's not a pressing reason for getting a PS5 unless you're trying to basically future-proof yourself. Because there's gonna be a point, it's not gonna be in the near future, but there's gonna be a point in time where the PS4 and the Xbox One become obsolete. And then you're gonna have to move to the PS5 and the Xbox Series X. And unless you're worried about future-proofing, or you don't have a PS4, there's not real pressure to get a PS5 right now. Other than you want to be on the cutting edge. But then don't get me wrong, PS5 has a lot of good games. You got, well, I ain't gonna say a lot, but
I was like, you pushing it there, buddy.
Besides the basically the main benefit, which PS5 plays nearly every PS4 game at 60 frames per second, and it can scale it to basically you get a PS4 Pro and a PS5 when you buy a PS5. So you get all your games upscaled, you get all your games at 60 FPS if they're capable of doing that, because some games still aren't capable of it. Looking at you, Bloodborne, it's ridiculous. You came out when the PS4 came out, you still can't do 60 frames per second. But other than that, there's a few games right now. You got Returnal and the director's cuts of the of pre-release games. But other than that, there's not really a main push to get a PS5 right now. But if you want to get a PS5, you should be able to get it. You shouldn't have to pay $1,000 for it. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, because a lot of people, let's be honest, don't have that type of money, like,
right,
to spend $1,000 on a console. Like, really, like, bro, that's overdoing it. But I get it, you know, businesses gotta make their money. They gotta, like, okay, we got a shortage on this. It's obviously gonna be a lot of money if we do this, but at the same time, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, it's like you're leaving the end user or the customer out to dry. Basically, right. Just tell them, hey, this.
You either gonna get it, you ain't. But
exactly.
But they a lot of them still gonna get it, bro.
Right.
So,
and that's just how it is with anything new, you know, new iPhone releases, everybody gonna flock to it. New console releases, everybody gonna flock to it because everybody wants to be on the cutting edge.
Yeah.
It's just that the price is a lot higher this time.
you gonna put a down payment on it like you paying on it. You remember people used to do layaway and stuff. So exactly. you gonna put that PS5 on layaway. Gonna pay a monthly stipend for it.
And then you know the crazy part is they don't even do layaway anymore.
Damn.
Yeah, it's like all these, they got all these extra programs where you gotta put where they interest to the product over time, but nobody does like regular layaway anymore.
That is
terrible.
They did that for terrible. A reason. They did it for a reason, bro.
Yeah. That bread.
Get that bread. Then leave. Peace out.
The bread man said, "My name was Young Dolph."
You said what?
Get paid.
Oh yeah, man. RIP Dolph, bro.
RIP Young Dolph. One of the most motivational rappers ever.
For real, man.
Telling you.
Yeah.
If you never had a drive to get money, you ain't never wanted any money before, or you just didn't know how to get money, just listen to one Young Dog. You ain't even got to listen to the whole album. Listen to one or two songs.
Yeah, but yeah, this the PS5 is a trickle effect. So from the GPUs being shortage, everybody buying up for their PCs and stuff, and then to the PS5, that's atrocious. And that's just atrocious, but I get it. Like I said, I get it. You're a business first. You got to do what's best for the business. But at the end of the day, I don't think that's fair for end users to have to buy such a high entity. And but you know, it's a supply and demand. It's such a shortage in them that hey, we're gonna make you pay for them.
And it's the same thing happened with the Switch, but the Switch didn't Switch was like, what, $200 or $300?
Mm-hmm.
So they couldn't hike the price up. It's just the fact that this one, it's just the PS5 costs more, and so that the resale price is gonna be more. And the resale price is just
But what are some ways that they can probably, like, if they just hold off for a minute?
Like, the best way is, the way I got mine was I followed a bunch of PS5 restock Twitter accounts. Like, there were these people that had made accounts to let you know what stores were restocking the PS5. It was like, hey, PS5 is restocking it at Target or Walmart and things like that, and they'll let you know ahead of time. And I set the bell on it on their account, so that as soon as they post, I would see it in my phone. So that's one thing. The second thing I did was I made a Target account, I made a Walmart account, a GameStop account, any major store in your area that you're planning on purchasing it at, you make an account, because that's gonna allow you to go ahead and get your card added. That way you can go ahead and purchase it faster. The main thing is you prepare. Follow the PS5 restocks, set the bell so you know when they're coming, and then make accounts for all of your local stores. And then as soon as they drop, go on the website, refresh it until you see it pop up, and get it. That's what I did, man. It took what? I was up from like 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock.
Oh wow.
But at 8 o'clock, my PS5 was ready, and I picked that up. I picked that sucker up and drove to the house.
So you was up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Right. Because that's when the drop was. I think the drop was, it was a drop at Target, and they were gonna, the inventory was set to restock at like 4 o'clock in the morning. So there I was. And then another good thing is, get you a partner too. Because if multiple people are trying to purchase, if you're trying to purchase it and it stalls on yours and somebody else trying to purchase it, you can just give them your card and then they can purchase it. They can purchase it from their account.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about, it's not necessarily gaming the system. It's just about being quick on the draw and having it's really, it's a lot of, I don't want to say luck to it, but it's, you got to be quick, you got to be attentive. Because if I would have fell asleep, I wouldn't have one.
It's like, yep. Well, you overslept, brother. There's two. Good luck next time.
You missed out on your blessing.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's crazy. And then, which leads into the next topic about how you feel about live adaptations and the source material,
right?
Because do you know what came out recently? I haven't watched it, but I know, I think you watched it, which right. was Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah, one of the first animes that I ever seen as a kid, and then just to see it, like they made it. They were really dedicated to the source material. Like, if you watch the first episode of Cowboy Bebop, the anime, and you watch the first episode of the live adaptation of Cowboy Bebop, you can tell the similarities. Like, you know the story about how Asimov was, he stole the red eye, the drug that made your eyes red and basically turned you into a PCP bath salt monster.
What?
Yeah, the drug they like bath salt. It's like an eye drop with bath salt. And it like sends you on a rampage and stuff. The live adaptation is very, very similar. I mean, like, almost like frame for frame. I don't want to say frame for frame, but setting for setting. They were in the bar, and then he took the red eye, and then he killed nearly everybody in the bar, just like he did in the anime. Like, they were really dedicated to the source material. And as an anime fan, that makes you appreciate the end product just that much more. Because you have a lot of adaptations that are loose and by the hip. Like, what was that? What's that adaptation that I think it was like one of the first anime adaptations for what's the name of that? It had Light and L in it. Death Note. The live action version of Death Note was trash. It didn't follow the story very well. It was very loose. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like if you're gonna make an adaptation of an anime, be as true to the source material as you possibly can. Yeah. You don't have to do it. You don't have to copy it word for word or scene for scene. But if you're gonna do it, make it feel like you made an honest effort. Don't try to adapt it into your own thing as a writer. Don't try to adapt it into your own like creative product, because it's not yours. You forget these people's lives have been changed by these types of things. So you want to be as truthful to the source material as you can. And I feel like Cowboy Bebop did an excellent job with that.
Well,
if you haven't watched it, go watch it.
Well, please. To play devil's advocate, you know, you can say something about the MCU as well. It's live adaptations of comic books, but they take their own spin on it, but it's still loosely based off the source material. It's like I kind of get what you're saying. I guess it's more appreciated in the MCU because they have Easter eggs that comic book nerds, that, you know, people that really read comic books will appreciate more than, you know. But I guess it's a little bit different because, you know, comic books can, there's so many comic books out there, and there's only one source material for anime.
Manga has only one writer, and right. Different comics can have like multiple. Like over like a character's lifetime, that character could have been drawn by 10, 15, maybe even 100 different people. Have 100 different stories written for them by 100 different writers. And you know how Marvel has, they have the MCU. They also have like multiple universes. I think about maybe 5 to 10 years ago, they combined them all into one. But it used to be like Earth 616 and Earth 1610, which was the Ultimate Universe. So you had a broader description of characters being different. Like, for example, Ultimate Wolverine Adamantium wasn't as strong as it is in the Ultimate Universe as it was in the regular 616 universe and things like that. So you had variations in the comics, but with manga, there's no variation. It's just one guy writing it. So I think that's why I feel more touchy about anime adaptations than I do than the MCU. And another thing is, the MCU's writers are good.
Yeah, that too. Because you don't want stuff like Ghost in the Shell or even the movie that we don't mention, even though it's not anime, it definitely has anime inspiration, which is Avatar The Last Airbender. That movie was... that movie was not good, man.
Garbaggio.
I
definitely hear where you come from. If you're gonna do your own thing, do it. You better take it and run with it and do it
good. Well.
Do it well. Extremely well.
Yeah. Yeah, that just like, I don't know was this fan made or not, but I did see something about a One Piece live adaptation. I was like, I don't know if this like fan made, you know, some people just make fan made stuff all the time. But if it's actually true, I'll be excited for it. But at the same time, I don't think I'll be too excited because,
it scares me.
Right, because One Piece is not finished. And how are you going to fit 1,000 episodes worth of material in one movie? That movie has to be like 3 hours long.
Exactly. Either that or you're going to have to make, what, 10 movies?
Yes. Like, that is not enough material. Because you skipping a lot of stuff from so you gonna go from the East Blue directly like to the first war when Luffy and his brother, like his brother died in his arms or something. Like there's a lot of build up to that. There's a lot of build up to Dressrosa. It's a lot of build up to the Wano Kingdom where they at currently right now in the anime adaptation. I think they just ended in the manga. I'm not too sure. I stopped reading the manga, even though sometimes I might peek here and there. But there's movies like that. But I probably watched the first 5 minutes of Cowboy Bebop, the live adaptation, and I was late in the night, so I was gonna catch up with it later. So I was going to probably form a real opinion about that just yet. But just going off of your words, it seems like it's pretty good. But it's a lot of live adaptations disappointed a lot of anime fans in the past. So it's already met with scrutiny before they even watch it, because they already formed their opinion. Because normally Netflix do these live adaptations. So Netflix already has formed an opinion to most of the people in the anime community that, like, hey, a lot of the time they don't really follow the source material.
And when they deviate, they don't care.
Just like, I think they did a live adaptation of Bleach that I was just like, this don't even feel right. Oh, watching it, I was just like, I cut it off the second episode. I was just like, yeah, like when after they first meet, bro, I was just like, yeah, this ain't it. This ain't it. It seems just not right.
Yeah, and there's a lot of them like that too. It's not just Bleach. There was Death Note. I think Full Metal Alchemist was okay.
I didn't know they did one.
Yeah, there's a Full Metal Alchemist live adaptation. I think Netflix did it.
There was one of Rurouni Kenshin, I believe, but yeah, I didn't watch it.
Yeah, I'm not really a big fan of Rurouni Kenshin.
I think I only like it was a decent show. It used to come on Toonami all the time, but
yeah, but I don't know. I either fell asleep on it all the time, or I love Samurai Champloo was good.
Right, that was a great show.
Yeah, and what was it, Knights of the Zodiac?
Of course, Saint Seiya.
Saint Seiya, man.
Yeah, that was called Saint Seiya, Knights of the Zodiac.
Oh, yeah, that one.
Yeah.
wait, those are the same ones?
Yes.
Wait, no. The one with the samurai that was like the Power Rangers.
Oh, you talking about Ronin Warriors?
Yeah. Ronin Warriors was hard, man.
Yeah, Ronin Warriors, bro. That one. But Saint Seiya was the one where they was in Greece and stuff, and they was fighting over the gold armor.
It really reminded me like a male version of Sailor Moon.
No, okay, you maybe gonna have to rewatch. You probably gonna have to rewatch that and tell me what. Then you can say the same thing about the Power Rangers and Ronin Warriors. They all kind of the same thing.
No, that's why I like it so much, because I used to love the Power Rangers.
But it's the same thing, like the Power Rangers and the Sailor Moon thing, because they got the transformations. I think that was just one big thing back in, I think it came out like the 80s. Yeah, I think that was just a big thing, like the big transformations and all that stuff. That was part of it.
Right. Transformation that started it off.
Man said, Knights of the Zodiac is like Sailor Moon, bro. God dang. Now I gotta rewatch it to even see what you're talking about.
I gotta rewatch Ronin Warriors.
Man, I don't even know what it's on, so I can't help you there, brother. You gotta look that up.
You have to dig in the internet. I shall find it.
Probably on Amazon or Hulu, bro.
Probably.
Yeah. I think it was on Amazon. Amazon got everything, bro. Yeah.
Man, that price, that everything price is nice.
Yeah, so, but the live adaptations, is if this, for me, I can only speak for myself. You already said the Cowboy Bebop live adaptation was good. So, If this one is good for me, it'll be, in my understanding, one of the few W's that they have for live adaptation of anime. I'm pretty sure there's some that I'm disregarding right now, because that I have seen so many examples that it wasn't good. So I might be disregarding some of the some of the ones that was actually good, but it's just been so many that were bad that it just leaves a bad taste in your mouth. Like, even I haven't seen the Prince of Tennis one, but from the preview of it, I was just like, why? Who asked for a live adaptation of Prince of Tennis?
What the Kings match?
Bro, have you ever watched Prince of Tennis?
I don't watch any sports anime.
Wow.
I don't watch sports, so I never had a passion for sports anime.
Wow, man. I think my first, well technically, if you watch what was that guy with the number 5 on it? Speed Racer.
Man, Speed Racer was
technically, yeah, that's sports. Racing is a sport.
Technically, but it was an illegal. It was illegal racing, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't. They was on the track.
Oh, so I was watching NASCAR.
Yes.
Look, that is a deep. That is an exception, not the rule.
So you tell me you ain't never watched Toonami Jet Streams, like, got curious and clicked on iShield 21?
No, not iShield 21. That's the football one, right?
Right.
No, I didn't watch that one. Now, the driving ones I did, it was one anime on Toonami that was like, they were like drift, it was like drift racing.
Uh-huh.
I used to love that one. I can't remember the name of it. But, yeah. Like, racing ones I love, but
there's a one called some no pedal where the dudes, like, they're bike racing, like they doing bikes and stuff.
I ain't watching that though. I'm gonna fall asleep immediately.
I tried to get into it. It was straight for like a good minute, but then I just like, meh. I think I lost interest. I think it was just, I was bored one day. I was like, oh, what is this? And I just started watching it. Yeah.
I could not do it, man.
But some sports anime is actually good. Like, Kirikou no Basket. Slam Dunk was just funny. It was one of those things. It was just like, I can't believe that I'm watching this. A Hero No Sora, it really had a great story so far. It only has 50 episodes in the anime. I don't know about the manga, but I'm pretty sure the manga's still going. But yeah, there's some of them that's actually good. The Prince of Tennis, it was straight for the time. I don't think I will watch it now, but growing up, it was just like, oh, this on Toonami. I watched everything on Toonami Jetstream. Watch Mayor, because you know that was the one that was just online. You had to go to Toonami.com just to watch that, because for a while Toonami wasn't on Cartoon Network. Like, it was a part of Cartoon Network, but it wasn't on cable.
They never aired it. I think that was when they stopped. They discontinued Toonami and just went straight to Adult Swim.
That was right before, because that was said Jetstream was just, you had to go through Cartoon Network just to get to Jetstream. Like, Cartoon Network Online. That's when they had, like, the games with, like, Courage the Cowardly Dog and all that stuff. Dang, I really dated myself right there.
You know what game was fired on CartoonNetwork.com?
What?
That Teen Titans fighting game.
Right.
That game was hard.
Right, man. Shoot.
It had, like, real combos and everything, too.
Shoot, man. And then, yeah, those games was dope. The Ed and the Eddie ones. Of course, you had some, I think they had a My Gym Partner Was a Monkey game on there. But it was a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm.
Basically, on the action game, it was like a thing. The only one I can remember right now was Teen Titan. And I remember wanting to get into that MMO they made. Right. I never got into it.
Yeah, me either. I think you had to, like, pay some money. And I was, like, kind of afraid to ask my parents that, even though they probably would have gave it, but I was like, I need some money to play online.
Yeah, that just didn't seem like it would sound right coming out your mouth.
Right. Like, I was like, they'll probably, because we would probably have to look into it. It's like, what it is. I ain't know. I was like, I don't know. But you want to play it. I don't know what this is. This look cool. It got courage and all this type of stuff on there. That's why I want to play it. But,
you know, the parents gonna do some research if they gotta spend some money.
Right. So I didn't even want to go through all that. Cause I was like, I don't know what this is. Now I gotta do research behind why I wanna play this.
You gotta write a book for
it. I was like, at the end of the day, I probably could have played it if I asked, but I was just like, I don't even know what this is myself. So it'll be pretty hard for me to explain what this is.
And why you should spend, and why your parents should spend money on it.
Right.
Yeah, I felt the exact same way you did, man. It wasn't no microtransactions or memberships, nothing growing up.
Right.
Either I could play it for free or I couldn't play it on my own.
Shoot, man, I remember one Christmas that my folks got a modem. Not a modem, but a router for the first time where I could play online. Okay. I was just so excited for just like, oh, you bought a router?
It's going down. It really is,
man. Yeah, that was the dopest thing ever.
I'm telling you. I think the first game I played online by myself was the first Call of Duty Modern Warfare when it first came out. But it wasn't my game and it wasn't my internet. But when we had a router at home, first game I played online was Call of Duty Black Ops.
I think the first mine was Call of Duty World at War.
The zombies part. I think that's when zombies first came out.
For the Black Ops, that was the very next game.
That's when I first got put on the zombies, man. Zombies was something else.
Right. But then, now this leading to the conversation of, since we already talking about games, let's lead to the conversation about the great anime games, because a lot of the times anime games get hyped up and they disappoint you. And I got plenty of them that disappointed me. It's still a good game if you play with different people. Like, you have somebody over, you might just pop this in, you know, play it, and that's it. Like, that's all I can see this game for. And I don't like people to waste money. Because I know for myself, I could have got this when the price dropped. And it's not it. Such as, like, I just recently purchased Demon Slayer. Bro. It's a good game, man. But I can't really put my finger on it, bro. Like, what is missing? But it feels like it's missing, like, I guess, I don't know what is missing. It just feels like it's missing something.
It's missing a soul because it copied everything from Naruto.
Right. I think that might be it. Is they all feel like the, you remember the swordsman character on the last Naruto game?
His name was Fu or Mu?
Right. The samurai from the Land of Iron.
Right.
So, they all felt like him, but with different skins and powers.
That is tragic.
Because I played them, and it's just like, and I finished the story. I've been playing online for a while, and it just, I can't go past an hour without wanting to cut this thing off.
Yeah, that's an indication that game just ain't it.
It's not it. It's not the worst game I played, but it's overhyped.
You're right.
Because it's real flashy. The cutscenes are very, very cool, but at the same time, I don't think that this game can beat out the old Naruto games or the Budokai games. It can't stand like that. Like, I can pop in Generations and still play it right now. I can still play Budokai or even Xenoverse 1 or 2.
I said, right, yeah, those games were great. Like, and that's the thing. Like, the thing about an anime game is you have to, there's like a certain amount of things that you have to do in order to make it a great game. Number one, not only do you have to kind of understand and know the source material and translate that into a video game format, you gotta give the fans something. You gotta make the gameplay rewarding. I feel like Xenoverse did that in a great way. Even if you don't buy the DLCs for Xenoverse, you're still gonna have a good time. Dragon Ball Z Budokai, there were so many characters to unlock, so many moves to unlock, so many ways to customize your skills and things like that. And the thing about Demon Slayer that kind of made me kind of pause, because I never even played it. I looked at it, and then I looked at who it was developed by. Bandai Namco, Cyber Connect 2. I was like, I'm paying the same people that made Naruto Ultimate Ninja Storm. And then the gameplay pops up, and it's just like Naruto Ultimate Ninja Storm. And I'm like, bruh, if I wanted to play Naruto, I'd just play Naruto. I love the Demon Slayer anime, but that anime is just, I mean, the game just not it.
Yeah.
You can't reskin all the characters and expect for me to just play the same thing, rehashed, remixed, and reused.
Yeah, it was. Now, I'm not saying like people don't buy the game. You know, you buy what you want. But from what it looked at, when I looked at it, I was a victim of the moment. I fell into it. I was like, man, I'm hyped. I went out and bought it. And when I bought it, I played the story, instantly disappointed.
Take another hype, just like me when I bought Cyberpunk 2077.
All right. So it happened on both sides, bro. It wasn't the fact that it was just like, oh, okay, I'm hyped about the anime. The anime is like, it's not the greatest anime of all time. It's just a very touching story, and it was, and the animations are pretty cool. So, it's very top notch. But the base storyline, that's not the greatest story.
It seems like it's been retold before. Like, it feels like they took a couple of storylines from different anime and was just like, hey, we've got this new technology where we can make the colors pop.
But it's still cool. I can't hype it. I can't downplay it like it's not cool. I'm still going to watch it. It's just the fact that it's not it. But the game itself, when I played through the story, I was just mundane. The story was so linear. It tried to do, is really like Generations, where you can walk around and all this stuff. And I think that's the part I didn't like about that. It was so linear in story. Mostly because it's not a lot of story so far. It's really not a lot of story. They went on, like, they had, how many arcs has it been? It's like three. I think it's like been like three arcs. And then the new one is like the fourth arc. So they had the arc where it first started and he had a training arc. Then he went on his first mission arc.
His other team.
Right, where he met both his teammates. And then he had an arc where it was super hard, and he almost didn't make it through.
He's fighting all the demons.
Yeah, the spider demons. And then the new arc, well, I guess it was another training arc after that. So that's four. And then the movie was technically season two, or the beginning of season two, which was arc number five. Because that the Mugen Train, that was basically the beginning of season two.
Okay, and I skipped over that movie. I didn't have to go back and watch that.
But that season two is out now. You can watch it through the episodes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like they redid it. And I got
marathon the first season all the way through, and then I just stopped.
Yeah, the second season, I believe, is on Crunchyroll now.
Okay.
But yeah, the baseline story, it was, I don't think they had enough material to make a full length, a good story mode. But I don't think that they had to follow the source material. Xenoverse didn't do it. Like, right. of course that you had a lot of these games follow the source material, but it's a video game. You really don't. It's not like a movie. It's not like a TV show. It's a video game. You can follow the source material, but you can vary off and do what you want.
And you definitely can, and like Xenoverse is like living proof of that. Because basically, Xenoverse is every Dragon Ball fan's fan fiction dream.
Make yourself a Saiyan?
Exactly. You can make a Black Super Saiyan. Make your own Majin Buu. Make your own Frieza. Make a human stronger than a Super Saiyan. Like, every Dragon Ball Z fan has sat there in their notebook in school and drew themselves as a Dragon Ball Z character. And you could do that in Xenoverse. Like, it's perfect. I wish you could do that. I wish Naruto... Well, Naruto kind of did do the same thing with Shinobi Strikers.
But yeah, the execution wasn't there.
Yeah, it wasn't executed as good as it was in Xenoverse. But the main thing with the anime games is, as long as you don't have to stay accurate to the source material, but as long as you understand the source material and your gameplay can back it up, you got a great game. Your game is going to get purchased many times over.
Cause it's not really like, if you're going to have a story mode, make sure the story is dope.
Right.
If it's going to be strictly online play, make sure the mechanics and the frame rate is great. And it's just the fact that there are good anime games out there, but if some of them, you can see it feels like a cash grab. I can't say it is a cash grab because I don't know for sure. I'm not in these people's mind, but it feels like a cash grab. Because just like, I'm sorry picking on Demon Slayer, but just like Demon Slayer, the game came out around the same time, like a couple weeks or a month before season 2 dropped. It's like that's too much of a coincidence. So it was like, oh, here go this game to go with this new season.
And that's one thing that can kind of hamper a game as well, is because, like, you know, a lot of companies treat video games like they do like toy lines and things like that, because, you know, whenever a new anime comes out, they create a toy for it, and they'll create a video game to go with the toys and with the anime.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like games are a little bit deeper than toys.
Yeah.
The best games are created, like, if they're based on source material, the best games they're not on, like, some type of deadline or trying to mimic a story or a specific storyline or anything like that. You actually give the developers time to do what they need to do. And that's another thing about those type of games. They're rushed. So when you get a rushed product, it's not gonna be great. It's gonna be trash.
Well, let's be real on it. Sometimes it's based off money. You know, some of them might not have the funding for it, so they have to rush the product just to get some of their money back.
Yeah.
But hey, and you see what it is, but hopefully there'll be more anime games come out. You know, would you classify Street Fighter or Guilty Gear as an anime game?
That's a good question, because I think with them, I know Street Fighter has had some anime adaptations, but it was a video game first.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not too sure about Guilty Gear. I know Guilty Gear has been around for almost 20 years at this point, if not more than that. But I don't think I've ever heard of a Guilty Gear anime, so to say.
I think they had movies and stuff, animated movies and stuff. But I don't know if they actually had a TV show.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't consider them standalone animes, because they're based off the game.
Mm-hmm.
I think that may be its own genre in itself.
Right. Yeah. Hey. Yeah, but you know, you live and you learn. So
yeah.
Right. We can't even do what you learned today, because we were just talking. But appreciate you coming again, fam. You already know. You can say all your stuff. What you want them to follow you on?
On YouTube is Nauly World, NauliWorld. Twitter is Under Construction. My TikTok, I got one video, but it's not Nauly. On Twitch, Nauly Naul.
You want them to follow you on Steam too?
No, like, you ain't gotta follow me on Steam. You know,
I'm talking about what they want to follow you on.
Oh, don't follow me on Steam, but if you want to play some games, that's my map pimping.
God dang, bro, when you I might cut some of that out.
But it's but everything's under construction right now. But and like it's on. But hey, slow motion is way better than no motion. But yes, sir, man, brother, I appreciate you having me on, and I appreciate y'all for listening. All
right, we'll have all his stuff in the link description below. Because he don't know what you want y'all to follow him on.
I want you to follow me on everything, but just keep in mind it's under construction.
All right, you can follow the podcast at Jack Antics on everything. It's everything Jack Antics, JACANTICS. So everything will be in the description below. Follow the YouTube channel, follow the podcast. It's on Anchor, Spotify, any place where you can find a podcast, even on Apple. No, we on Apple. And
don't get
sold. Nah, I ain't doing that. I ain't doing that, buddy, bucko.
No way,
bucko. I'm just a small town boy living in South Detroit. Midnight train going anywhere. But thanks again, bro. You know you welcome anytime, family. And thank you everybody for listening. Until next time, got more coming soon. Make sure you follow the YouTube page. There's more coming soon. Thanks again.
Peace out.